Someone asked me this morning when they came in, they said, "Pastor, who's going to help you preach this time?" You know, that's been nice. Have you appreciated that? That was a wonderful time to have all of our guest preachers with us. And so I wanted to answer that person publicly about who's going to help me preach this morning. That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So it's so good to have you with us this morning. We are beginning a new series. It's the book. I'm going to see how many Bible scholars we have here. It's the book after 1 Peter.
2 Peter.
We are going to read 2 Peter. I have been planning to start this series before we started 1 Peter. But you can't talk about 2 Peter unless you lay the foundation for the first one. Isn't God awesome? There's this word up there, the word true. Let's define what it is. Let's be Webster. Everybody, you're Mr. Webster, you're Mr. Mrs. Websterette. What does true mean to you?
Not
real.
Honest, not false.
Not false. Honesty.
Authentic.
All right, those are good. What is true could be a noun, but I want to think about it as an adjective. And what is an adjective, teachers? It describes a person, place, or thing. And, you know, I love going to the dictionaries because sometimes they're just spot on. Let's see what Merriam's dictionary says about true. It's consistent with fact or reality. That's good. It's not false, that's what Gloria said, or erroneous. Here's another definition of true. Not counterfeit. I know some of you are thinking about that. So it's real, it's genuine. A synonym would be authentic. Someone said authentic. But watch the third part. Here it is. Conforming to the characteristics or criteria of something established. Or since we're in church, let's change that up just a bit. That transforming to the characteristics or criteria of someone who's established. What does it mean to be really true? So I've got some illustrations. I'm going to help you two different ways this morning. Because how many of you are more object learners? You've got to have that object. And so some of you may know, I brought some of my favorite tools with me. Anyone know what this toothpick is? Wow, that was good. How many of you got that right? That was awesome. What is the purpose of this? Let me ask, ladies, what is the purpose of this?
Yes.
All right, thank you, Michelle. You're the evidence. This table is just not level, or it's not true to what is level. When you think about building a house, how important is something to be true? Very important. Now, a lot of you, you know, we've built 12 homes here. This church has built 12 homes in Mexico. Hey, it's in Mexico. I mean, they're used to leaning one way or another. No, we go down, everything has to be true. Because when you do something as in the name of the Lord, you better do it to your best ability. It's not close. It is, well, okay, our first house was close. I just want to be honest. But all the 11 houses, we were worried about making sure that it was true. And what true means is that it's square, okay, that 90 degree, it is square. The walls aren't leaning like this, you know. And that it's level, it's on that level foundation. Because if not, your whole house is going to be, ever been on a cruise? Okay, level. And that it's plumb. How many know what plumb means? Now, it's not a color, it's not a fruit. There's a tool, I don't have one, it's called the plumb bob. All right, and you hang it down, it's got a weight, and it's pointy. And you make sure that it's always going to be vertically plumb. And you match everything to these three characteristics. When a house is true, that means all three of those at the same time are happening. If I'm going to select a true 2x4, what am I going to look for? I'm going to make sure that it's straight. And so you're going to look like you have a telescope or maybe a shotgun, all right? And does this look pretty straight to you? And you're also going to make so you're making sure that it's not going like this, doing the fishtail. And you're going to lay it on the ground, right? You've been to Home Depot?
Yes.
You want to make sure it's flat or maybe level, okay? Now, I'm basing that on the fact that the floor at Home Depot is level. Would you call this a true 2x4? Yeah, it looks good. It looks like you could build from it, right? Okay, so that's one way to understand what is true. Now, for the rest of us, I'm not much when it comes to carpentry or building things. I understand. Well, let's talk about the next one, a compass. It always points to what? Magnetic north. Then you are what we're in the true north, the true heading. How important is a compass? Now, a lot of you don't understand what a compass is because you've got GPS. GPS uses satellites. Before satellites, we had these things called compasses. What a compass, it's going to always show you where north is. When we go hiking in the woods or we go up to Mount Baldy, you got your compass out. I have one on my backpack always, and I go and I look at it, and it's got north, south, east, west, and north is always in maybe a red color. And what I have to do, I have to navigate my body. I have to physically put my body in a place to where north is. So let's say that's north. I have to orientate myself to where north is and learn how. Because it always, always, no matter what, it always points to north, no matter the environment. No matter your opinion of where you think north is. North has to be a constant. No matter our opinion, no matter where you are, whether you're lost or found, north always has to be a constant. And when we got this phrase, it's this phrase, true north. What does it mean for Jesus to be your true north? Anyone? You've been participating with everything. So now that we're getting spiritual, I need your help here. He's the direction we're headed. You're always drawn to him. He's the true direction. No matter your opinion of where north is, no matter your opinion of what Jesus may or may not, he's always true. The problem is sometimes we don't know where north is, and sometimes we don't know where God is, and sometimes we don't know where God's taking us. And sometimes, God, I think you're heading south. And sometimes when God calls you to a certain direction, you're true north in his. It may feel opposite of where you're going. I have driven down the road thinking, am I truly heading in the right direction? Where am I going? When someone says Jesus is my true north, I have to figure out, what does that really mean? I think it means that they acknowledge him, that he is constant. He's never changing. He's always reliable, even in a world that's changing. Ever been part of a culture that seems like it's changing? Anyone been motion sick for the last few months? What's going on? Where is the world headed? Where is society going? If Jesus is always the true north, believers, churchgoers, no matter where the world is spinning, have you ever seen a compass lose its magnetism? It's just going to spin. And that's been my world. It's like, where in the world are we going? When someone says Jesus is my true north, they acknowledge that he is the source of unchanging truth. He never changes. He's always the same. We talked about that last week. And that his word, his truth, is always true. It's always level. It's always plumb. It's always square. It's always factual. In fact, Hebrews 3:18 that we mentioned last week. Jesus, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's true north in so many ways. When someone says Jesus is my true north, they acknowledge that they sometimes feel like strangers in this world. And we are sometimes susceptible of being what Ephesians 4:14 says, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown even off course by every wind of teaching and by the craftiness of deceitful people. Being led astray, choose some other direction. You ever known someone who, where Jesus was their true north, but then they lost their way? What does that mean in church when someone lost their way? They backslide. They decide not to follow Jesus because maybe it's not fitting into their opinion of what is true, what is level, what is square. And since you're not fitting into my convictions, my opinions, then I'm not going to follow you anymore. And who cares? And a lot of Christians, good Christians, fall away because of the culture that says Jesus is not really true. And I'm not talking about faults. I'm talking about he's not level. You've been sold a bill of goods based on fairy tales and Bible stories. He's not real. Kids who fall away from the Lord when they go off to school start hearing things other than what they've been raised. They hear that Jesus is not. Have we raised our kids well enough to know that no matter what, he is our true north? And even though the world may say that you're a little out of square, out of touch, you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you're the one that's in touch. You're the one. Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, his ways are always perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields those who take refuge in him." It's the Lord who defines what's true, not culture, not CNN, not MS. I can't say that other part. It's those are opinions. I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus says this is the way things should be, and he says, "I'm the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You got to believe that he's pointing only to the narrow gate that leads to life. Right. Not the wide gate that leads to destruction. It's hard to stay on course. We go up to Mount Baldy and we go up these trails and I'm looking, we're finding north. And sometimes my trail will take me off a little bit northwest. And do I feel, do I sense, do I understand that I'm a little off course? Till I have to find a path the way back. And so those are the two illustrations of what it means to be true in 2022. Because in this year, these next 12 months, I'm going to tell you there's a lot of other things that are going to try to distract you. And telling you what's really true, what's really north, what's really square, plumb, and level. And true believers who are focused on Jesus, they'll know, even though they hear everything going on, they'll know beyond a shadow of doubt that sometimes we walk by faith, not by sight. And in 2022, I believe you're going to be called to walk by faith more than you've ever been called before. But you have a built-in compass. You have this God imprint, if you're a believer, this Holy Spirit, and his only job is to point you north. His only job is to keep you focused on becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. The issue is not listening to all the other voices, not listening to all the other ones who are trying to conform you to their pattern of this world. True north is a precise direction no matter where you start. True north always leads you to the same location no matter who you are, where you are, or when in time you are, always leads to Jesus. True north transcends. It goes beyond geography, location, government, environment. True north always survives in a declining culture. True north always points and welcomes people back home, especially the prodigal sons and the prodigal daughters. Amen. So I believe the gospel, and I believe the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus himself is what I would call true. All of these things are true into that adjective that I was describing, and all truth comes from him. Are you with me yet?
Yeah.
You know, I love acrostics, don't you? And you got your pieces of paper and pencils? I think y'all got something to write with. I brought it last year. Doggone it. All right, someone may want to share. What does true mean? This is, again, setting up this whole reason why we're going into the book of 2 Peter. True is that it's trustworthy. Trustworthy. How do you, ladies, how do you trust a man, a boyfriend? By his action. He becomes trust what? Worthy. Worthy of your trust. And God has always proven himself worthy of our trust. How many times could you hear Jesus telling the disciples, just trust me. Last time, did I lead you? Peter, trust me. You're not going to sink. Trust me, blind man. Trust me, deaf man. Plus, just trust me, because he is trustworthy. For this level, someone has to certify it that it's correct, right? It has a certification right there. Now, this is not one that you buy at Walmart. This is a better one. And that means that this is certified to be level. So I can then put whatever I want to make level, this is going to be the constant. Everything is going to be based on this level. And God says, I am trustworthy. Everything I tell you, everything I say, I lead you, you may not understand, but I am worthy. If you could trust me yesterday, how come you can't trust me today? How many people have been falling away from the Lord because they don't know if he's trustworthy anymore because of all the chaos? How many of you know that maybe God allowed or orchestrated that chaos into your life to prove to you yet again that he is trustworthy and the world isn't? Can you trust government? Are they trustworthy? There you go, Pastor, getting political. No, I'm not political. Can you trust your friends and family members? History says maybe. Do you want to apply that to your relationship with God and spend eternity maybe in heaven? If he's trustworthy yesterday, he can be trustworthy today, and he can be trustworthy tomorrow, no matter what chaos is going into your life. When Peter got out of the boat, did he trust Jesus? 100%. No one else did in the church, the boat. And he got out of the boat, and all the naysayers were going, Peter, get back in here. What they're saying is, don't trust. Don't trust. And Peter says, no, he's trustworthy. And I love Peter. And I'm so glad that Peter had a human moment. And he saw all the waves around. He got disorientated, right? Maybe a little motion sick. He began to sink. And Jesus allowed him to sink a little bit. To the point where he had to physically decide, I trust you again. I'm so sorry. I didn't trust you 100%. I can't imagine what that grasp of the hand felt like to Peter as he pulled him up. And I can imagine Peter was about ready to write another song. He's trustworthy. And he went back and looked at that boat. You have more faith in that boat than you do in Jesus. Trustworthy means that he's reliable. He's constant, consistent. He's reliable. You means that it's universal. Jesus doesn't mend or bend to fit your patterns. We bend to fit his patterns. In fact, the Bible says, don't be confused and conforming to this wicked world that we're in. Don't be like them. We did a study in the book of Revelations when we looked at the seven churches and then the letters that John wrote to them through the Holy Spirit. And two of them said, why are you allowing the world to conform you, culture to conform you? Why are you allowing those false teachers to come in and lead you off course? Why are you doing that? Because so many people want to bend the gospel, bend Jesus outside of what was true in his teachings and his word. Where culture then says, this is what a Christian is. This is what a Jesus follower is. And we become a little off. If Jesus told me through the scripture that something is sin, something is against God's will, it applies to you too. And it applies to someone who lives in another country. It applied to the people who lived before us, and it applies to the people who are going to live after us. It's universal for everyone. His truth, the light, is true for everybody. But the problem is we live in a culture that is changing or filtering out the light of God. Emily got a telescope for Christmas that I'm very grateful for. It's a lot of fun. When the kids get older, the toys get better. She got this telescope. Have you ever used a telescope? It looks like a... You see the stars, you see all those planets, Jupiter, Saturn. To me, they just look like a big white dot up there in the sky. And then you get this telescope, and it's funny. We set up the telescope, and we had it upside down. And we thought we got a bad one. You know, it's long, it's big. Made a great box for Christmas. And we're looking at it, all of a sudden I realize, I see the cement. And we flip it over, turn it up, and Emily says, oh, there the stars are. It's like they moved. She goes, look, Dad, look, I found something. Now I go and put my 50-plus-year-old eyes on there, and I said, sweetheart, I don't see anything. It's there, Dad. It's true, Dad, I'm not lying. It's true, it's there. Honey, I don't see it. Well, Dad, turn the focuser thing. True daughter. The focuser thing. Okay, so I turn the focuser thing and it's like, boom, there's Jupiter. It's like, wow, it's true, it's there. See, it's always going to be there, but I got to make sure that I'm looking at it through the correct lens. And our society is telling us, some churches are telling us, you need a better lens to see more correctly. I don't need anything, my friends, to see what God wants to say is true and was accurate and what is applicable and it's good for reproof, teaching, and correction. His word is reliable and it's universal for everybody. But you just maybe need to focus in a little bit better. And there's another letter if I spelled it right. What's that next letter? Help me preach. E. What? Anyone know? What do you think it might stand for? What, huh? Equilibrium? No. Everlasting? Excellent. Eternal? Who said eternal? Gary, bing, 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 bing. It's eternal. It's never going to fade away, even though we are told that we are outdated. Our religion is past its prime. Jesus is old-fashioned. You really can't trust the Bible anymore. It's fading away. Can't really live your life according to the principles of God's word. It was for back then. Today, we have technology. And we have learned. Yeah, we've learned, all right. We have learned. It is eternal. I love one of the verses. We could pull out so many verses, but I wanted to hang for a moment on this verse where it says in John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. Jesus is saying, you are truly my disciples. And what's that word? If you remain faithful to my teachings and you will know the truth. And what? The truth will set you free. There are three things that are all related here. I'm going to identify truly as a follower of Jesus by one thing and one thing only. I accept his whole truth and nothing but his truth, so help me God. When I do that, I am truly his follower, his disciple. I may not fit into the patterns of this world, in other words. And I really don't care about fitting into the patterns of this world anymore. I used to give in to peer pressure all the time. And I'm not just talking about junior high. I wanted to have a cool church. cutting edge, cool church. And some of those churches don't bring out Jesus. In fact, they bring out the smog machine more than the Holy Spirit. Did I say smog? Fog machine. Sorry, there's just too much pollution in some of those messages. One of the largest... Was that in my notes? One of the largest churches in our country doesn't even ever mention the sin that you and I struggle with. We just want a recipe for blessedness and happiness and prosperity. But I'm telling you, the truth says that I was a sinner, lost, heading in the wrong direction, and I needed a course change. What I was building in my life was not true, was not level. It didn't square up to the principles of God that last forever and ever. I may be old-fashioned, but I serve a God who's eternal. And my teachings from the Bible, they may not be politically correct. And that's okay. If you want to find a church that's politically correct, I'm sad to say there are a lot of them out there. If you want to find a church that doesn't preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth, there's a lot of them out there. We're not going to twist the word. We're going to let the word of God speak to us because it is true. It is level. It is plumb. And we need to stay focused on that. Peter, when he wrote this book, he's writing to his readers who've become churches, basically, and they were heading off course. They needed a course correction. They were walking and leaning on things that were not level with God. And this book is going to remind us how to walk true in 2022. Let me just read for you some of the first few verses. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Now, there's a lot of different translations. You might have the NIV. You may use the King James. I have nothing against the King James. I just sprain my tongue every time I try to read from it. All right? So let me just read for you the first few verses here. First Peter. Sorry. Second, I wrote this in last year. Man, where's my wife when I needed her to spell check everything? This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. That is my focus in this entire series. That's verse 3 right there. God has given us everything we need for a true godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. In other words, accepting him, inviting him into our life. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. In other words, his life that he lived for us. And because of his glory and excellence, in other words, because of his life and what he did for us, he has given us a great and precious promises. And these are promises that enable you. What's that word? Enable you to share in his divine nature. Did I just say that you can have the nature of God in you? You can share in the nature of God and escape the world's corruption caused by what? Human desires. Look at what pops out to you. God has given us everything we need. Everything for a godly life here in this world. We don't need anything else. But we're praying for more and more and more because our life is getting harder and harder, right? But God says, I've given you everything you need. You just got to be willing to open it up and use it. And sometimes God uses tools that we didn't ask for. Ever receive a Christmas present you didn't ask for and you didn't want? No? Oh. I have. I've received a tool once. I said, I will never have use for that tool. I don't own a house. Why would I need that tool? But somewhere down the road, I was able to own a house. And then I could use that snake to unclog the drains. I would never use that snake. Why would I use that snake? I would have rather had a gift certificate to Cracker Barrel. But I'm telling you, when your wife says the sink's clogged, you can't unclog it with a Cracker Barrel gift card. You got to go and find that snake that you didn't appreciate. God gives us opportunities, whether you wanted them or not, to help shape you. And I'm telling you, beyond a shadow of doubt, that this whole past 24 months didn't escape God's attention. In fact, God has a purpose to use. Maybe what he meant for evil, God can turn into good. And God says, I'm going to allow certain things into your life in 2022. They're going to shape you and keep you in line with what it means to be heading true north. You may not understand it at the time, but you got to walk by faith. And the world may tell you you're off course. And your faith says, no, I'm staying my course. So God has given us everything we need. And this book is going to describe those things that he's given us already that you may not know about. And those will help us live godly lives. How many of you need help living a godly life? I do too. All right? I need so much help because I am naturally bent opposite of what God wants. Have you ever heard the things in my head before? It's like they're crazy things. And some of them come from my own DNA of being born in this world. Other come from the enemy. Other come from people who don't like what I stand for. And sometimes they begin to echo in my head, and I start believing that, you know, maybe that is not true north. Maybe God did a little shift change. We call it a paradigm shift. No, I have everything I need today to live holy and pleasing to God. I just have to be willing to use all those tools that he's given to me. And then he says, these are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. These things that we're going to learn about enable us to become more and more like God. How many of you want to be like God? I do. Then I'm less like me. Then I'm a better father. Then I'm a better husband. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better worker. I'm just a better person because I'm more like God. But I'm selfish. I don't sometimes want the things that God wants for me. You're like that too? But these things that he's going to give us help us become more like him so that I reflect more of him in my life. And then I'm going to be able to escape. Ready? Scotty, beam me up out of this world. I know you're praying that. Escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. That's why we're going to study this book, my friends. That's why we're here. He has given us everything we need. We just have to start using it. How many of you would love to use this level? Yeah? Three easy payments of $19.95. It's all yours. And I'm going to promise you that we're going to stay level. And I'm telling you that this, where'd that board go? We're building our lives on what is straight, what is true. And even if the world tells us we're out of it, we're not flowing like the world's flowing, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Amen. See, right now my world, my culture is trying to tell me, and I don't know how they're perceiving this, they're trying to tell me that this is straight. They're trying to tell me that this is plumb. They're trying to tell me that this is true. This could be a candy cane one day. You know where this came from? No. This came from a tree that was bent. And it went through the sawmill. And it didn't make the cut. Here's what's happening in our world today. Here's what's happening in some churches today. This is true. This is what's going to make you happy. This is going to make you successful. And here's what's going on. Lord, please help me. Some people are trying to take this board that they're saying is true and they're using in their lives. And, you know, if I put some nails down here and I start pulling on this board, I can pull this board over. And I can put a couple nails in the top of it. And I can make it work. What's going to happen, though, when I release one or two of those nails? It'll always go back to its bent, corrupt nature. See, I don't have to bend or manipulate what's true to make it fit to where I'm building in my life. It naturally causes everything to fall in line. My marriage, my finances, my parenting, what I view on TV, what I listen to. Everything is built on what I determine is true. And I determine that the Lord is truth, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to a Father outside of what He says. But today I'm being told that you can trust this. You can trust this. Someone yesterday asked me, they're going to watch a movie. And Emily and I had watched it, and it's called Don't Look Up. And I was, at the time I was driving, I was focused on driving. I really didn't really recall much. Then I did watch that movie. A meteor is coming to destroy the earth. And those in political power were telling everybody, don't look up. If you don't look up, you're not going to see it. It's not true. And then people began waking up in the movie. And the people who are told, and they're at rallies about not looking up. And then all of a sudden, one guy, I think he was drunk, I couldn't tell. He looked up, he goes, beep, beep. Those are the words that it's true. We've been lied to all this time. And he started telling other people, look up. Look to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look to me, and I will guide you. And the problem is, we have people trying to tell us today, this is true. We have curriculum in schools that have taken that which was built on truth, and now they have perverted it and saying, this now is true. We have parents, 300 of them stood in protest at the last school board meeting saying, uh-uh, you're not going to teach that to my children. We have society pressure that's saying, this is now your... God created male and female. God created for you to be whatever you want to associate with. What are you going to believe? My Bible says in the end times, truth is going to be perverted. What is considered truth has now become false, and what is considered righteous has now become unrighteous. What was evil is now going to become good, true. And that which was true and righteous is now going to be considered evil, wrong. My wife and I were talking yesterday during the second pot of coffee. Where is truth out there now? How come things have become so perverted? Because we're not looking and fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. So this morning, I've got to ask you, what does it mean for you to be true in 2022? If you're not heading north, you may only be off a degree today. And let's say you live for 20 more years and you started off one degree off, where are you going to end up in 20 years? Narrow is the gate that leads to life. I just want to have fun, Bill. I just want to make my own choices. When I'm old and tired like you, I'll make... I'll get right with God one day. Yeah. How much are you willing to risk on that? What have you been building your life with? Your own choices? Your own wants and desires? Boring. Straight. No pun intended. You know, I think in 2022, what it means for me personally to be true in 2022, I'm going to love God and I'm going to love others. That's it. What if that was my filter this year? Simply to love God and love others. So if someone says to me, this is true, this is right, we have opinions that differ, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do my best to find what's right and straight and build on that. Do you know that I can make a nice straight board out of this? If I allow the Holy Spirit to cut out the things that are not pleasing to Him, if I make a cut right here, He can transform something that was in the garbage bin at Walmart or at Home Depot, and He can make something beautiful out of it.